I have a personal announcement, though. I'm placing a personal bounty on the head of Tim McCracken. He's the coach and chief punk on that Syracuse team.
A bounty?
Yeah. $100 of my own money for the first of my men that really nails that creep. That's 8 o'clock at the War Memorial, the Syracuse, and the all-new Charleston Chiefs.
Thanks, Rich.
Yeah, not to worry, kid.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Drop Podcast, the podcast that's dedicated to the St. Louis Blues. Today's episode, we're going to talk about the Mike Yeo signing, a little bit of free agency, and some more thoughts about the Blues. Let's get right into the Mike Yeo signing. Well, most of the media is praising this move. I right now am not. I am not sure why you hire a coach who only took his team to the playoffs 3 out of 5 years that he coached, and in his last 19 games as a coach for the Wild in 2016, he only won 3 games. Ken Hitchcock was quoted as saying he feels good leaving the Blues in the capable hands of Mike Yeo. Sorry, Hitch, I don't understand this at all. In the press conference that Ken Hitchcock had after game 7 against the Dallas Stars, he praised the Dallas Stars. He basically said the Dallas Stars and teams like them with the high-octane offenses are the future of the NHL. Well, okay, if the offense is the future of the NHL, why do you build your team to be a defense-first type of team? Some people would say, hey, this makes sense. We're going to have a good defensive team to stop these high-powered offenses. No, you will not. A good defensive team cannot stop a high-powered offense night in, night out, every single night. The Blues were known in the league supposedly for having a punishing, tough defense. Sorry again, folks. The Blues had a decent defense. That was backed by a very good goalie in Brian Elliott. You take away Brian Elliott from the Blues, and let's even say you put Jones in from the Sharks, I guarantee you the Blues would not have been number 2 in the Western Conference. This just does not make any sense to me. Sure, you should have a good defensive team. You should, you know, really make sure your players, all of them, know how to play a two-way game. But if the NHL is going to go in the style of the Dallas Stars, and let's say you have 21 teams that are high-octane offenses, and your team is a defense first, try to, score goals when you get these so-called limited opportunities and keep up with these teams. You're not going to see a lot of 2-1 games, 1-2 games. You may see them from now and again. But with the rules changing with the goalie pads, with the rules changing coming up with the goalie equipment, and it's possible talk of making the goal 6 inches wider on each side, yeah, defense, you're going to have to play better defense. But you're going to also have to keep up with these teams that are scoring 4, 5, 6 goals a game, which is exactly what Gary Bettman and the NHL wants. They don't like these 2-1 games like we've seen in the playoffs and 3-2 and 1-0 games. They don't want that. They don't want that at all. They want a high-scoring, fast-paced game, and they want it to continue to get more and more. They say the goalies have the advantage. Well, I don't think so. I think the goalies have just gotten bigger. There may be some goalies who wear bigger pads now, you know, than they used to. But I've been watching hockey since 1976, and the goalies back then were very good. But these goalies are in much better shape than the goalies back then. If you look back at the goaltender's equipment, even in 79 to 80, some of them pads are huge. It's a lot bigger than what, let's say, a Brian Elliott wears today. If you look at Mike Liut's pads that played for the Blues and Brian Elliott's pads, Brian Elliott's pads are actually smaller than Mike Liut's. So this, you know, the hiring of Mike Yeo with all the rule changes coming up to where you're going to have an offense that can keep up with the other team's offense doesn't make any sense to me. None at all. And I would think the Blues would think about this. You know, if you talk to some of the players at the Wild played for Mike Yeo with the Wild, some of them praise him a lot. Some of them will not say very nice things about him. And that's not good. I know not all the players are going to like their coaches, but you know, you shouldn't have such a disparity between, you know, one guy saying he's great and another guy saying he's bad. It's a stupid move. They're talking about he's a 43-year-old genius and he's been involved in hockey in a long time and he took his AHL team to the finals or to the semifinals. Who cares? I really don't care. You know, I hope they prove me wrong. But folks, if you're counting on a Stanley Cup this year or next year and you're in St. Louis, I don't see it. I really don't see it. Because after this year, when Mike Yeo becomes head coach and is no longer assistant head coach, we've got free agents that are going to be unrestricted. We've got Steen, okay? We have Berglund. We have Allen. We have Elliott. We have Bortuzzo. We have a bunch of other players that are going to be free agents. This team for the 2017-2018 season is going to look totally different. So tell me how a team that's going to have such a huge turnaround is supposed to continue this great push for the Stanley Cup. Some people may hate me. I really don't care. I'm a Blues fan. I just don't understand these moves. So I'll leave it at that. And maybe, you know, like I said in my blog, maybe they can show me different. I hope they do, but I'm doubting it very seriously right now. Let's move on to trade rumors. It seems like the Blues and Edmonton keep coming up a lot, even though Edmonton's announcer says no. You know, there's definitely not going to be a trade between the Blues. Edmonton's not giving up their fourth pick. You know, sometimes you can listen to the announcers. Other times, they don't fully know what's going on in the front office. You know, what has Edmonton done with their last top picks? And I've, you know, one of my other podcasts, I went over all their top picks since 2009. I think only one or two of them have really, really worked out. And one of them's Connor McDavid, you know, and one of them was Nugent. And Nugent Hopkins, sorry. I just did not, he's an okay player, but they draft the same player every year. Let's go ahead and draft a right wing and left wing player every single year. Let's not get defense. Let's not invest in our goaltending. Let's just continue to draft the same player. Folks, this isn't the 1980s. This isn't the Wayne Gretzky Edmonton Oilers. Sorry, Edmonton, you need to make a decision and either do something different with that fourth pick and get a quickly impactive defenseman, or you need to trade for a defenseman such as Shattenkirk. The latest rumors have Shattenkirk and Elliott, believe it or not, going to the Edmonton Oilers for the number fourth pick. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense because Talbot for Edmonton is under contract, I believe, till 2019. And they're paying him over $4 million a year. But you never know with the Blues or Edmonton. Another rumor is Ty Ratty, Shattenkirk, Elliott, the number four pick, and Nugent Hopkins. I would be happy with that personally. Nothing against Elliott, but I don't see the Blues re-signing him next year. You know, they've made it clear at the beginning of last season that Jake Allen was their man, and they wanted Jake Allen to be the starter. Even though Elliott played awesome in the playoffs and towards the end of the year when he had to, they want Jake Allen to be the starter. They don't want Brian Elliott to be the starter. Trust me, they don't. So I don't see Elliott being here after next year anyway. So why not get something for him now while you can? Another rumors maybe have Philadelphia interested in Shattenkirk, but I don't see what they have to offer the Blues. They don't have any. They have two top forwards that may be of interest, and you know they're 20 to 25, 28 goal scorers. I just don't see much there for the Blues to get. People are talking about the Coyotes wanting to trade a lot. I don't see a lot that the Coyotes have that the Blues would want. I really don't. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me on those ends. Not sure what's going to happen. I wouldn't expect anything to happen to Shattenkirk until right before the draft or right at during the day of the draft. I wouldn't count on something happening, you know, this week or next 8 to 10 days. And now we get to David Backes. David Backes recently listed his house up for sale in St. Louis. And a lot of people, you know, are just shocked at this. Oh, are you kidding me? When did this happen? Oh, my goodness. What does this mean? Well, it doesn't mean he's gone. And maybe he's looking for a bigger house. Have you seen this house he's got, folks? You can go online and look at the listing. It's a huge house. You know, that's a big enough house for probably 10 people. I don't see why David Backes, the type of person he is, who has a very humble personality, would want a bigger house than what he has there. So Backes is gone, folks. I'm sorry. He is gone. Philadelphia is interested in him. Washington's interested in him. There's a few other East Coast teams. And there's a couple of West Coast teams that are interested in him also, but most of the interest is coming from the East Coast. And he's going to get his $6 to $6.5 million a year. And if he doesn't, I'll be shocked. And it's not going to be for the Blues. So you folks out there that keep saying Backes, oh, please sign Backes, please sign Backes, you're not thinking this through quickly. The man's 32 years old. He's going to be going downhill. He plays a tough physical game, and that's hard on your body. He's not Wayne Gretzky. He's not a goaltender. He's not these little light scorers that can play till they're 38, 40 years old. He's not that. He's a tough, rugged guy who plays his game tough and rugged. He's been doing it for 10 years for the Blues. That weighs on the body. His 32-year-old body right now is probably like a 39-year-old body on a scorer or a 40-year-old body on a goalie. He's not worth the money to bring him back to the Blues. And I really hope Armstrong doesn't, unless it's for like a 2-year deal, which from understanding from his agent, he's not signing anything less than 4. So folks, let's wish him well. He gave us what he could. He gave us his best. He had his best playoff season this year in the playoffs. I'm thankful for it, but folks, admit it, he's gone. He is no longer going to be a St. Louis Blue. Besides that, there's not a lot of other trade talks with Blues players. We've got Armstrong wanting to give Schwartz a long-term deal. Let's hope he doesn't go too nuts like he did with Laterra and paying Laterra all the money he's paying. I just wish they could get rid of that contract. I wish Bouwmeester would be gone, but I believe he's under contract till 2019. And he's already an old man and as slow as a snail just after having him for a couple of years. His speed has just went way down. If they did let him go, they would be responsible for somewhere between $1.8 to $2 million of his salary, I believe, for either six or eight years. So I don't see them letting him go, and I don't see anybody wanting him. Because in my mind, he's not a number one defenseman. He's not a number two defenseman. I don't even know if at this stage he's a number three defenseman. He's probably a fourth-line defenseman at best, and the Blues are paying him like a number one, and they'll put him out there next year with Pietrangelo and say that he's one of their top defensemen. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, people. I'm just trying to be realistic here. We got to look at the actions of the Blues, the lack of action from the Blues, and the coach that they hired. Like I said earlier, prove me wrong, Mike Eo. Prove me wrong, Blues. Prove me wrong, Doug Armstrong. We went to the third round of the finals this year, which was great, but the Blues ended up losing in the playoffs the same way they lose every year, by standing around and not playing. All you people that say San Jose was a better team, you're wrong. You are totally wrong. And the Blues need to build a speed team like Pittsburgh. Look what happened. San Jose had a punishing series against the Blues. They had a punishing series against Nashville that went 7 games. They went 6 games against the Blues, and it was a very physical series for them. They played Pittsburgh, who was a very offensive team with Malkin, Kessel, Crosby, with a good goaltender in Murray, and they just got outplayed. That Pittsburgh was faster, looked so much better, and this great defensive team that was supposedly so much better than every other team in the Western Conference really looked bad, really did not look good in any of the games, even the ones they won. So, I hope they have some tricks up their sleeve and can get some offense, because if they stand pat with the group they have right now and Backes is gone and they replace him with somebody with the same type of production and, 23 to 30 goals a year, I don't see them, folks, in the third round. They might maybe make it to the second round, but they were very fortunate to get past Dallas, and they should have beat Chicago in 5 games. But they were fortunate to get past Dallas. In my mind, if Dallas would have played San Jose, you would have seen the Dallas Stars against Pittsburgh, and it probably would have been a very high-scoring series because both teams are high-octane offenses. That's just my opinion on what's been going on, since the offseason with the trades and everything. If I find anything out about the Shattenkirk or where Backes is going to be going, I will also produce another show, another podcast. If I hear any more rumors or once those trades happen or the signings, we'll definitely have another episode and get into those. This has been the Drop Podcast. I'm your host, Lance Descott. You can find us on Twitter at Official The Drop. You can also email us at theofficialdrop@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com, The Drop Podcast. please, you can find us on iTunes to download this. You can find us on Shout Engine to download this. Sorry, folks, I'm not trying to be a bummer, but I'm trying to look at things as a glass half full instead of most people in this town, including the media, who are just eating this Mike Eo signing up, and I don't understand it. They're acting like the guy is Scotty Bowman. Sorry, folks, I'll stop with that. Have a great day. Hopefully the Blues can turn it around and prove me wrong. You know, it's like to say in our state of Missouri, show me. Well, I'm sorry, Mike Eo. I'm sorry, Doug Armstrong. You still have to show me. Have a great night and goodbye.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, go nuts, buddy.
Oh, pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Oh, thank God for the gravy.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.